What great worship. Such peace. I love it. And that's what we're talking about today. Peaceful storm. Peace comes from a Greek word in the Bible. I pronounce it Irene. I don't think that's the Greek way of pronouncing it correctly. I think it's Irene. But it spells like, in English, it looks like Irene. So that's what I go with, Irene. Good night, Irene. Anybody remember that? Just showing my age a little bit. Irene, peace. One of my favorite descriptions that I read about peace, divine favor. That's good. Like that last song, he's running after you. God favors you. If he gave you that peace. Divine favor. Now, peaceful storm. Sounds like an oxymoron, right? You know what an oxymoron is? Two words put together that actually they are contradictory. Like jumbo shrimp. Bittersweet. Working vacation. Civil war is an oxymoron. Plastic silverware. In the Air Force, I was an intelligence operations specialist, and my friend said that I was an oxymoron because military intelligence. Just a joke. minor crisis. Original copy. I like that. Original copy. Anybody else? You got one? Social distancing, yeah, exactly. Peaceful protest. Are you, or is there? And we're talking about that today. Peaceful storm. Sounds like an oxymoron, but I pray today that God will challenge us in our definition of peace, how we think of peace versus how the world thinks about peace and the peace that we have access to. And I encourage you to access God's peace in your life, even through the storms. So we're going to read in the story of when Jesus calmed the storm. We're going to read the account in Matthew 8, verse 23. This may not be on the board, but it's good. It's a quick one. Matthew 8, 23. It's also in Mark 4 and Luke 8. It says, when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being covered with the waves, but Jesus himself was asleep. And they came to him and woke him, saying, save us, Lord, we are perishing. He said to them, why are you afraid, you men of little faith? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and it became perfectly calm. The men were amazed and said, what kind of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? So, the Sea of Galilee was actually well known for its sudden and violent storms due to the layout of the topography around the Sea of Galilee. There's some mountainous areas around it, and they work as some kind of a funnel. I haven't been there. I've only seen pictures, but I hear that it works as some kind of funnel. The air comes down through there, the wind, and it picks up, and it's almost like, if you had those Hot Wheel tracks and you've got the thing that makes them go faster so you don't have to roll it around them. Like that. That's what that was. That's like the Sea of Galilee and those mountains there. I've heard that the storms can get so violent. One person wrote that said, I was in a storm on the sea and it seems like the wind is blowing from every direction all at the same time. As a matter of fact, the scripture, the King James in verse 28 uses the word tempest, which comes from the Greek word seismos, which is where we get seismic activity. It's also used for earthquake. It's like an earthquake in the air. violent storm. As we read Matthew 8:24, the boat was being covered with the waves. Now I want you to picture this in your mind. Smell the salt water in the air, salt water stinging you in the face, plus it's raining, it's cloudy, waves. And listen, this is not like a ship. This is not like the Pirates of the Caribbean or the Caribbean, wherever you're from. This is a pretty small boat. I mean, it's big enough to fit 13 people, but it's not a huge boat. This thing is being thrown all over the place. Mark 43 says, there arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat, so much so that the boat was filling up. Okay, now the waves are getting in the boat, and there's water at the bottom of the boat. Can you picture this? Luke says they begin to be swamped and to be in danger. This was a real deal. The storm was bad enough that the disciples thought that they were going to die, literally. Matthew 8:25 says they woke Jesus up and said, "Save us, Lord, we are perishing." Mark actually records that they said, "Do you not even care that we perish?" They were convinced they were going to die. I saw a video on this one time. I think it's the same story. And actually, Davy Jones comes from the depths, landed on the boat, and said, "Simon Peter, do you feel death?" Is that the same? That's a different story? Okay. Never mind that. Different story. But they were convinced that they were about to die. Where was Jesus? Now, I know that Jesus was probably physically exhausted after his time and his teaching and all that he was doing. But can you imagine sleeping in a storm like that? There is a peace. No storm can take away. You've heard the expression, "in the same boat." "I'm in the same boat with you, brother." You've heard that? It may have come from this story. I'm not sure, but it's perfect for this story because I want you to think about this. Jesus was in the same boat that those disciples were. Whatever storm you are in, if you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, Jesus is in the same boat. With the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us, the Spirit of God itself, Himself, living on the inside of us, He's in the same predicament that you're in. So then we have to ask ourselves, where's Jesus? Where's God? How is He handling this predicament that I'm in? How's He handling this conflict or this battle? Because He is in the same boat. Find Jesus. Do what He's doing. Take that example. How's He handling the storm? And let's do that. Because there is a peace that can only come from God. Now, I had to ask myself this question. What if, imagine if you will, things turn out a little bit differently and they're panicking and they go and they see Jesus, they look at Jesus and He's up there. I don't even know how you could sleep through this. I don't know, He's probably coming off the, and the waves and everything, and it just had to be a sight to see. What if the disciples looked over there at Jesus and saw Him sleeping and they thought, "Oh, wait a second, well, we're pretty convinced that that's the Son of God, right?" "Well, I'm sure of it at this point." "Well, He doesn't seem to act too worried about it. Maybe we should just relax and not panic. I mean, He's not dying. Not like this, right? God wouldn't let His Son, Jesus, die on a boat out in the sea because of a storm. So we're probably pretty safe." What if they would not have woken up Jesus and Jesus didn't calm the storm? Do you think the storm would have just stopped? Do you think they would have just weathered that storm? Something to think about. But they panicked. And they went to Jesus and they did wake him up. And he says in Luke 8:25, where is your faith? Where is your faith? A lot of times we put a whole lot of concentration on this word faith, like it's some mysterious meaning that we can't really wrap our head around. Faith comes from the Greek word pistis, and it means basically confidence. I'm convinced, belief, assured. And he says, where is your faith? What are you most convinced of at this point in your life? Are you more confident in the impact of the storm, or are you more confident in God's provision of peace? What factor do you believe to be the most true and relative in your situation right now in your life? Death by storm or provision by God? Because, by the way, did not Jesus say, let us go over to the other side? What Jesus did not say, it's going to be smooth sailing. He didn't say that part, did he? So get this, the storm had no relevance on his mission and no impact on his peace. Think about that. Because when God calls you to an assignment, sometimes he conveniently leaves out the fact that there could possibly be storms on the way. Probably because he expects us to understand that that is a likelihood and a possibility. And those storms will make us better sailors. Peace is not the absence of the storm, but a supernatural confidence in God's provision during and through a storm. And thankfully, there is a peace that we can access through any storm. So in Matthew 8:26, Jesus said to them, what are you afraid? Why are you afraid, you men of little faith? Now here's what's interesting. While we're visioning and picturing this in our mind, this storm and this little boat ride, Luke says this. He's got it a little bit differently. He actually says Jesus woke up and said, why are you guys afraid, you men of little faith? And then he turns around and calmed the storm. Now, when I think of that and I see that picture, the guys are having problems keeping their feet on it, the water's rolling up, the waves are up here, and Jesus wakes up and says, what are you guys afraid of? Peter's like, there's water in the boat. He said to them, why are you afraid, you men of little faith? And I thought of this. Did they have little faith because they did not think about controlling the storm? Or did they have little faith because they were too afraid to weather the storm just like Jesus was doing? Too often we feel that storms are a result of something we've done wrong, and I've done something wrong. God's not happy with me, and that's why I'm suffering this storm. How do I get rid of this storm? What did I do wrong? How can I make this storm stop? Let me ask you this. If, like the disciples, we panic and we run to Jesus and we're fearful during our storms, will we not also be guilty of having little or no faith like the disciples were? I'm asking for a friend. But perhaps there are times that we should seek God's peace during a storm instead of seeking a life of stormlessness. Amen? Right? You get that? Because if our focus is more about eliminating the conflict rather than weathering the conflict in God's peace, we may miss an opportunity to grow our faith and prove our faith. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 13:5, he says, test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Prove yourselves. Weather that storm, bro. Weather it. Philippians 4:7. The Bible describes an unexplainable peace. Now, this amazes me, and I think that if we can get this in our hearts and in our minds, this unexplainable peace, I think we're going to face life really well and make a huge example on people around us. Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God which surpasses all comprehension will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God that surpasses all comprehensions. Now, we love that scripture. I love that scripture. But I want you to realize something about this scripture. For peace to be described as beyond comprehension, there must be something involved to make it seem so unrealistic in the natural that it bewilders our understanding. Something must be there to make it so unbelievable. In other words, there's trouble, there's conflict, there's a storm, but I'm at peace. There's reasons to fear, but I'm at peace. Makes no sense at all. Even in the scripture, we learn that God's peace is during the storm, not the absence of it. See, the world understands peace as there's no conflict, there's no storm, I'm at peace. Duh, there's no conflict or no storm. But the Bible teaches about a peace that doesn't make any sense at all. It's experienced in the middle of a storm. While the storm continues, there's peace. It makes no sense that I should feel peace right now during this troubled time. It makes no sense that the same boat where the disciples were fearful for the very lives that Jesus has conked out. There is a peace, a supernatural, illogical peace that can only come from God and often occurs right smack in the middle of the storm. I want to use Gideon as an example in Judges 6. You'll probably remember this story. Judges 6, the Midianites were coming after the Israelites. They would gang up with the Amalekites and come in, and they would destroy the crops. They would kill the livestock. They were just giving them a terrible time. Israel cried out to God. Midianites were trying to go to war with them, and that's when an angel came to Gideon and said, "Oh, valiant warrior." And Gideon was like, and Gideon said to him, said, "Listen, why is all this happening to us? We've heard all these great stories about God doing miracles and saving us from slavery and all this stuff. Why, what now? What's going on now?" And the angel said, "Go in this, your strength, and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you?" And he's like, "How can I do that?" And the angel said, "You will be victorious because I'm going to go with you." And so he made a sacrifice to the Lord. Verse 23, Judges 6:23, the Lord said to him, "Peace to you, do not fear, you shall not die." And then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and named it "The Lord is Peace." So God's saying, think about this. God's saying, "Gideon, peace to you. Everything's going to be all right. Don't worry. Peace. Chill, bro. But first I want you to go into your hometown and I want you to tear down all the idols and the images and the false gods. Tear those all down and build one to me instead. And yes, your hometown people will literally want to kill you." And sure enough, they did want to kill him. Well, that doesn't sound very peaceful, right? And then it was like, okay, after that, I want you to lead an army to go against the Midianites and the Amalekites. Well, that doesn't sound very peaceful at all either. Oh, and not only that, but instead of the 22,000 guys you got, I'm only going to let you have 300 and go, that's not peaceful at all, Lord. But he said, peace to you, do not fear. There is a peace that is beyond our comprehension. And just like God whittled down his army from 22,000 to 300, listen why he did this. Judges 7:2, the Lord told him, the people who are with you are too many for me to give Midian into their hands, for Israel would become boasting, saying, my own power has delivered me. It makes total sense for you to win a battle with 22,000 really good soldiers, but with just 300, everyone will know that that victory was God's. It makes total sense for you to be at peace when you have no conflict, troubles, wars, fears. But experiencing peace during those times, everyone will know that that peace came from God. A good growing relationship with God is not a life free from storms. If you're contemplating Christianity today, we're going to get to the other side. But it may not be smooth sailing every single day. But we can have peace during the journey. Now, I'm not suggesting that peace means that we just sit back and do nothing. That wasn't what Gideon did. Gideon had to go through a lot of things that didn't sound like peace at all. He had to work at it. There may be times in your life when you're praying about peace and you're accessing that peace that God has for you, but you may be bailing water out of your boat at the same time. However, we can bail that water. We can weather that storm with an attitude of peace because it doesn't have to be understandable. We don't have to understand it or comprehend it. Are you going through a time in your life when storms seem to be chaotic, dangerous, causes your vessel to disappear in the waves? You feel like your boat's filling up with water. You feel alone. You feel like you may not even make it through. And I'm not sure what's about to happen here. This is uncomfortable, God. Find Jesus and weather the storm with him, like him. Now, some of you may find Jesus and he just calms the storm like that. Bada bing. Oh, good. Praise the Lord. That's good. I love it when that happens. And you may get to a point to where some of those storms in your life you can control. You can rebuke the winds, so to speak, in the name of Jesus and calm the storm. But a good part of the time, you're going to practice your faith by being peaceful during the storm. There is a peace that no storm can take away. Now, we have access to that peace. We already do. It's already been provided. John 14:27, Jesus says, peace I leave with you. As a matter of fact, he says, my peace. As a matter of fact, let me do one better. Jesus says, my peace I give to you. The kind of peace that you can sleep in the middle of this death-defying storm. That kind of peace I give to you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That's the peace of God, and you have access to that. So, you might say, how do I access that kind of peace? How do I implement it in my life? You have to choose what you allow yourself to think about. What are you more convinced of? The impact of the storm? Or are you more convinced of the peace of God? because that's what you'll think about and that's how you'll live. Do not allow fear to occupy your mind. Pastor Temple talked about this last 2 weeks, great sermons. Do not let fear occupy your mind, because it'll sneak in and you have to control it. You just say, no, wait. I have the right to take my thoughts captive because I'm more convinced in God's peace than I am the impact of this storm. Paul writes 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 5, the weapons of our warfare are not flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing that raised itself up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought, say with me, every thought, every thought. We are taking every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Jesus says, my peace I give to you. I did not give you a spirit of fear, 2 Timothy 1:7 says, I didn't give you that spirit. Where did that spirit come from? God's like, I didn't. It didn't come from me. Don't allow it in there if it's not God's. What you allow in is the spirit of power, love, and discipline. Even in the middle of your conflict, troubles, and storms, find Jesus. What is his reaction in this mess? Seek that peace. Quote those scriptures. Here's the deal. Allow yourself to have a change in your state of mind. Allow yourself to be at peace. Now, most of you are probably thinking, well, of course, obviously, if I have access to peace, I'm just going to allow that. We're, in our culture, we're trained in humanity. We're trained that if there's a reason to be upset or fearful or troubled or conflicted, we're trained to dwell on that and to take it. And if something feels peaceful, it's like, oh, I can't be at peace right now. I'm in this trouble. Allow yourself to be at peace. I told the team today, I woke up today and I just had an unexplainable peace. Go with it, right? Milk it. It's there. We have access to it. Don't allow fear and conflict to dwell in your thoughts. John 16:33, these things I have spoken to you that in me you might have peace. In the world, you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, or take courage. I have overcome the world. Even in this scripture, I want you to notice something. There's peace and there's tribulation simultaneously. Tribulation of the world has no relevance on your peace in Christ. The storms in your life, the troubles, the conflict in your family has no relevance on your peace in Christ. Psalms 23:4, even though I sometimes feel I'm walking through a valley that's full of death, I fear no evil. None of that should have relevance on my peace, because that comes from God. And God said, I'm not giving this to you like the world gives it to you. This is yours to keep and access forever. Seek the peace. Learn to access that peace even in your times of trouble. Not necessarily getting rid of your storms, but through the storm, weather it, bro. Right? Will you stand with me?